Good afternoon. Thank all of you for joining us for our Wednesday night worship service. I'm going to be filling in beginning tonight and the next 5 weeks during the month of March. So look forward to being with you each week. I'm sure that all of you probably heard that the 2020 Olympics were canceled last year due to the COVID pandemic. The 2020 Olympic Games have been rescheduled and will begin on July 23rd of this year in Tokyo, Japan. Every athlete from every country will be doing their best to win a gold medal and to be crowned or declared the winner. The Bible teaches that every Christian will go before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the heavenly rewards in the form of a crown that we have earned by our actions in this life. My sermon series for the next 5 Wednesday nights is about the 5 crowns that are available to each one of us as believers. The sermon series is called Going for the Gold. Our lesson tonight is about the crown of rejoicing, also known as the soul winner's crown. This crown is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? David Jeremiah is a well-known and popular pastor of a megachurch out in California. He's written many books and has a radio and television ministry. In his commentary about the crown of rejoicing, David Jeremiah said this: sometimes called the soul winner's crown, the crown of rejoicing is the crown that Almighty God gives to us when we reach out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Paul was talking to the Thessalonians, he said, in effect, Thessalonians, let me tell you what the crown of rejoicing is. It's you. Because we minister to you, you're going to be there, speaking of heaven, you're going to be there because we had a ministry to you. Jeremiah goes on to say this: some people in the church are constant witnesses. They talk to people all the time about Jesus, and they are candidates for this crown. So the basis for our lesson tonight is the crown of rejoicing, also known as the soul winner's crown, that is available to every believer. And we're going to look tonight at Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. If you would, take your Bibles and turn there with me. Luke chapter 15, we see here in Luke 15, 3 parables told by Jesus, all of which involve something being lost. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. Notice what it says. Read that with me. It says here, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. God, thank you for your word. Give us insight into your word. Help us to apply it to our lives. I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. Forgive me of my sins and give me the words to say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jose Salvador Alvarenga holds the world record for being lost at sea. He disappeared on November 17th, 2012, and was found on January 30th, 2014. He was literally lost for 1 year, 2 months, and 13 days. We all know, of course, that being lost is never a good thing. Actually, the word lost is not necessarily a good word. When you say, my favorite team lost, it's not a good thing. When a person says, I lost money, that's not a good thing. When a person says, I have lost my mind, it's never a good thing. In the Christian community, we say a person who has not been saved or has never accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, we say that that person is lost. And I'm sure that we can all agree that that certainly is not a good thing. In the Bible, it says that those of us that have been saved by accepting Jesus as Savior, it says that we are to help lead others who are lost to Jesus. In Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, we see where Jesus gives his followers the Great Commission. He provides clear instructions that we are to work together to serve him, to lead others to him. As I said, this passage is called the Great Commission, and Jesus commands and commissions those of us who are saved to be a witness for him and to lead people to him. Every local church should be a Great Commission church. Every Sunday school class should be a Great Commission Sunday school class. And every individual believer should be a Great Commission Christian. In Matthew 28, we find the Great Commission, and here in Luke 15, we find the Great Commission illustrated. In this chapter, as I said, Jesus tells three parables that makes one single point. God loves the lost. We're going to look at this first parable, the parable of the lost sheep, and notice three things here in this story as we look at this lesson entitled simply Lost. First of all, notice sensitivity to lostness. Notice the sensitivity to lostness. Look at verse 1 and 2. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. At this point, Jesus is well into his earthly ministry. He has been traveling around, preaching and teaching to large crowds of people. He's developed a following of people, people who acknowledge him and recognize him as the Messiah. And they have begun to follow Jesus wherever he goes. And so here we see Jesus tells this story of a shepherd and his sheep. One of the sheep becomes lost, and the shepherd leaves the whole flock to find this one lost sheep. And when he finds it, it says here that he is ready to celebrate and rejoice. I'm sure all of us can understand that, because I'm sure we've all at some point lost something of value to us and very happy when we were finally able to find it. I can certainly understand that and share a story with you, something that happened to me many years ago. My daughter was about 4 or 5 years old, and she and I went to the mall, and we went to one of the major department stores there in the mall, and we were in the men's section. And in the men's section there in the department store, they had these round circular clothes racks. They're about chest high. And on these clothes racks, it was in there in a big room in the men's section, and there was clothes hung all around these circular racks. And my daughter loved to crawl up under the clothes that was hanging on the racks, crawl up in the middle of that and hide. She loved to play hide and seek by doing that. And so I was looking around at the clothes, and she began to do that, running around, playing. She would crawl underneath the clothes on the rack, get up inside there and hide from me. She was playing a good game of hide and seek. Of course, I was looking around and letting her play, but I was doing my best to keep an eye on her, to keep her close and to watch where she was at and what she was doing. Well, I got to looking around and I turned to see where she was at and she was gone. And I began to look and see if I could find her. And the more I looked, the more concerned I became. And I actually come to the conclusion that she was lost. I looked around and I began to kind of panic. And I got down on the floor, laid down on the floor so I could see under all those clothes hanging on the racks across the room. I began to yell out her name, call out her name very loudly, try to see if she would answer, and so I became very concerned, even to the point that I was ready to call the mall security and get them to just to lock down the whole mall so I could find my daughter. I thought she was lost, and when I found her, I was very relieved. Here in this passage, as I said, Jesus is telling the story of a shepherd that went to find one lost sheep. He's illustrating here for us the value of lost people. This shepherd was willing to leave the 99 to go find the one that was lost. This shepherd was willing to do whatever it takes to find this one lost sheep. Notice here it says, we read here that it says that sinners were drawing near to Jesus. There were sinners there to hear Jesus. They were in the presence of the Savior, in the presence of the Messiah. And the religious leaders that were there were critical of what was taking place and totally unaware of the situation at hand. The very thing they should be working towards, the very thing they should be trying to make happen, bring sinners to the Savior, they were critical of. They complained about it. Let's make sure we are reminded about the sensitivity to and the awareness of lost people. Let's have a whatever it takes attitude about leading lost people to Jesus, sharing the gospel. And let's for sure not be like the religious leaders of Jesus' day in this story, who were critical of the very thing they should be celebrating. So we see here, first of all, we see in this parable of the lost sheep, we see the sensitivity to lostness. But second of all, notice this. Notice the severity of lostness. Look at the first part of verse 4. Notice what Jesus is saying here as he begins this parable. He says, "What man of you have 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness?" The shepherd understood that lost sheep can't defend themselves. We all know, of course, that sheep are not very aggressive animals, and certainly they're not very smart. There are other aggressive animals that will prey and kill sheep. But the shepherd understood that if this sheep was not found, it would die. Either die by an attack by another animal, or just not able to survive on its own without the shepherd. The shepherd understood the consequences of lost sheep that are not found. Let's be reminded of the consequences of a lost person who leaves this world, who dies without Jesus. That person will spend eternity in a place called hell. Those of us that are saved, that have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, we know without a doubt that when we leave this world, we're going to a place called heaven. Heaven is a real place, and we should rejoice about the fact that we're saved and we have an eternal home in heaven. But the flip side of that is we have to realize and remember that just as heaven is a real place, hell is a real place as well. It is a place of fire and torment. It is a place of punishment. The Bible teaches that the punishment of hell is very severe, but it is not swift. It will last for eternity. I want to read you a quote by a man by the name of Leighton Ford. He wrote a book called The Good News for Sharing, and he said this about hell. He said, "The horror of hell is not physical pain. After all, the Bible tells us hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and they are not physical beings. Rather, the fire and the outer darkness and the thirst depict spiritual separation from God, moral remorse, the consciousness that one deserves what he is getting." What Mr. Ford is saying in this quote is that what makes hell, hell, it is not the physical pain of hell, but it is the eternal, final separation from Almighty God. And the understanding that in hell, we are receiving the very thing that we deserve, that a person would deserve because of their sinful condition. The severity of lostness. It is a sobering thought, but let's be reminded of the seriousness of lost condition. Yes, there's the sensitivity to lostness and the severity of lostness, but number three, notice this. Notice the solution to lostness. Look at the last part of verse 4 through verse 6. Read that with me. He says, beginning in verse 4 at the first part, lead into the other verses. He says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one," notice that, "and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.'" The essence of Jesus' story or parable here, understand this, God loves the lost. The Bible teaches we're all born into this world as sinners, lost. But God loved each one of us, you and I, and every person in this world. He loved us so much, he sent his son Jesus into this world to what? Die for the lost. God loves the lost. Jesus died for the lost. And we have been given the great commission to win the lost. Let's realize that evangelism is not a lost cause, but is a cause a worthwhile cause for the lost. And I want to finish by giving us some action steps, if you will, some things we can do as believers to win the loss and earn that crown of rejoicing. There's five things here. Notice, first of all, to win the lost, we need to pray specifically for the lost. Now listen to me. Listen, I know that our tendency and what we do often and should do often is to pray for the physical needs of people. And praise the Lord for that. We know that God is the great physician, the healer of all things. And we should lift up other people in our time of prayer and pray for their physical needs. But let's be reminded, we need to pray for people's spiritual needs as well. I encourage you to identify people you know that are lost and call them specifically by name in your time of prayer. Ask God to reveal the truth of the gospel in that person's heart. Ask God to convict that person of their sinful condition. Ask God to pour out his love into the heart of that person and that person be drawn to Jesus. Pray specifically for lost people. Second of all, not only should we pray for lost people, but we should be willing to give personal invitations. Personal invitations. I'm sure that we all know someone who is lost in our, maybe someone we work with, someone in our family or friends or neighbors. We all know people that may be lost, that are lost. And we should be willing to make a personal invitation to that person and invite them to our church. Invite them to your Sunday school class. You see, when someone who is unchurched and lost comes to church, worships with other believers, sits in a classroom with fellow believers, and other, if it sits in a classroom with other people, people who are believers, God will use that. God will work through those situations to draw that person to him and use other people in the worship service and other activities to reveal himself to that lost person, that person coming to know Jesus as Savior. So we should pray for lost people. We should be willing to make personal invitations, but we should also be involved in personal witnessing. Personal witnessing. We all know people who are lost, and we should be willing to share the gospel with that person. We should be willing to explain and share with people what God has done for us. We are commanded in Scripture. We are called by God to be his witness, to be his ambassador, to represent him and to share the gospel with people we know who are lost. We should pray for lost people, be willing to make personal invitation, be willing to be involved in personal witnessing. And number four, we should participate and serve in various ministries of the church. It takes all of us working together, all of us being engaged in the various ministries of the church, so that through our ministries here in the church, we can reach an unchurched and lost world. We can see people come to know Jesus as Savior. And then lastly, number five, we should be involved or committed to personal giving to the church. We need to all faithfully give our tithes and offerings to the church so that our church can carry out the ministries of the church. The church, the local church, needs the financial support of its members for that church to be able to carry out the ministries that God would have us to do. If we do these things, these five things, we can earn that crown of rejoicing, that soul winner's crown that Jesus will give to us as a result of winning the lost. He will give to us individually when we are in his presence. Let's make sure in this life we do all we can to please him and live for him. And let's make sure we go for the gold. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you loved us so much. You sent your son Jesus to die for us. And by trusting him as Savior, we become one of your children. Not lost, but saved. But God, there are many in our communities, in our families, in our schools, in our neighborhoods that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, and they're lost. Help us to be committed and be involved, be obedient to the Great Commission, and do what we can to reach others for you. And we thank you for the promise of your word that tells us when we're engaged and involved in winning the lost to Jesus, we earn that crown of rejoicing, that soul winner's crown. And we look forward to being in your presence and receiving those heavenly rewards. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.